As regular viewers of this channel know, after the economic collapse, the only option for the Chinese government is to activate the Great Will mode. On the economic level, a rationing system and allocation mechanism will be implemented, while on the personal level, a strict hierarchical system will be implemented. The highest level consists of 2 million red elites, the second level consists of 80 million people within the system, and the lowest level, of course, is the 1.3 billion ordinary people. The level of material allocation available to different classes will be vastly different. Following North Korea's current practices, the highest level of red elites will have unlimited access to all resources. The second level of people within the system will be allocated 5 caddies of grain per day, while the lowest level of 1.3 billion people will be allocated 1 caddy of grain per person per day, which is just enough to keep them struggling on the brink of starvation. Note that after the economic collapse, the excessive population is no longer an asset, but a pure burden, and must be eliminated as quickly as possible. Therefore, the Red Regime will continue to categorize the 1.3 billion ordinary people. It will identify the most wretched group among them as martial arts personnel, including 5 categories of people: those who have failed in investment, those who are disillusioned with life, those who are unemployed, those who are psychologically unbalanced, and those who are mentally ill. Then, by instigating mass struggle, they will force these martial arts personnel to starve to death collectively. The Red Regime only needs to identify 50 million inches martial arts personnel every year, and within 10 years, they can silently eliminate people within the country without causing any ripples. The ordinary people struggling in the extreme cold will have no awareness of this human tragedy and will not realize that they are living in a hell on earth. Under this model, the 80 million people within the system are key. As long as they can closely unite around the 2 million red elites, the 1.3 billion ordinary people at the bottom will have no chance of resistance. They could slowly starve to death within 10 years, a whole family starving to death collectively. And yet, for this already predetermined future, some people still harbor illusions. With vacant expressions on their faces, perpetually runny noses, and innocent, ignorant eyes, they foolishly ask, after the economic collapse, will the system still be able to support those 80 million people within the system? I think it definitely won't be able to support them. If those within the system lead a rebellion, then won't we have hope? We might be able to survive. Quote, in their imagined illusory world, an economic collapse will inevitably lead to a fiscal collapse, so much so that even the salaries of civil servants cannot be paid, and the Red Regime will therefore be unable to maintain order, thus giving these delusional people a chance. But is this really the case? Will the Red Regime be unable to maintain the welfare level of those within the system because of such a trivial matter as an economic collapse? As a data expert in the cryptocurrency circle, I naturally need to analyze this future and see how much of an economic crisis the Red Regime can withstand. And I can directly give a conclusion here. Even if the national fiscal scale is directly halved, the Red Regime can still easily maintain control, and the 80 million people within the system can even live better. To understand the Red Regime's ultimate fiscal capacity, it is necessary to deeply understand the structure of the Chinese government's fiscal expenditures. Here, I first provide the overall data on fiscal expenditures. The Chinese government's fiscal expenditures are divided into 2 major categories: government fund expenditures and public budget expenditures. I will explain them separately here. First, let's look at government fund expenditures. The source of funds for this type of expenditure is mainly the land sales revenue of local governments. Its uses are mainly for local projects: economic construction projects, such as the construction and maintenance of roads, power grids, water networks, and limited networks within cities, as well as the engineering costs of subways and subsidies for their operating losses in cities with subway systems, are all funded through this channel. In other words, local infrastructure construction is supported by land sales revenue, thereby maintaining economic development. In 2020, government fund expenditures reached a historical peak of 11.8 trillion yuan. Subsequently, with the collapse of the real estate bubble, local governments' land sales revenue plummeted. However, local governments compensated for the shortfall in land sales revenue by issuing a large amount of special bonds. These special bond expenditures are statistically included in the category of government fund expenditures. Therefore, the total scale of government fund expenditures has remained around 10 trillion yuan for a long time, without a significant decrease. The ratio of government fund expenditures to total expenditures has also remained around 26%. In the field of urban construction in various regions, the amount of new construction projects has indeed decreased, but it has not decreased to the point of complete cessation. Now, at the end of the year, various regions are still launching urban road repair projects as usual, mainly to spend the remaining funds on their books. Next, let's look at general public budget expenditures. Everyone should be very familiar with this part of the expenditure. Public budget expenditures have maintained a continuous expansion trend in recent years, which is the so-called proactive fiscal policy. The government increases fiscal spending to maintain relative economic stability. In 2024, the total scale of public budget expenditures is 28.5 trillion yuan, accounting for 73.7% of total expenditures. The main source of funds for public budget expenditures is taxes collected by the Tax Bureau, as well as a portion of non-tax revenue, mainly including municipal fees and fines collected by the government. These funds are, of course, what we, ordinary citizens, directly contribute to public budget expenditures through taxes and fees in various economic activities. Everyone pays income tax on their salaries, value-added tax and consumption tax on purchases, and fees for water, electricity, gas, and public transportation. This is the source of funding for public budget expenditures. Public budget expenditures cover three main categories. The first is livelihood expenditures, mainly education and healthcare. The second is the maintenance costs of the state apparatus, which is a broad concept, including the five sets of organizations from top to bottom: the party committee, the People's Congress, the government, the political consultative conference, and the disciplinary inspection commission, as well as law enforcement systems such as the public security, procuratorate, and courts, and the military. The third category is economic construction expenditures. This category of expenditure was already introduced when discussing government fund expenditures earlier. This means that relying solely on public budget expenditures to maintain the economy results in a serious shortage of investment. Therefore, it is necessary to rely on local government land sales revenue and special debt funds to supplement the investment. Based on the Ministry of Finance's annual financial final accounts report, I have categorized the various items of public budget expenditures according to the three expenditure categories mentioned above. This table will be difficult for you to read carefully, and you don't need to examine it in detail. You only need to understand how meticulous my data analysis work is. I have used different colors to distinguish the three categories of expenditures. The green section represents livelihood expenditures, the yellow section represents the maintenance of the state apparatus, and the blue section represents economic construction expenditures. In 2024, the total national public budget expenditure was 28.46 trillion yuan, of which livelihood expenditures amounted to 9 trillion yuan, maintenance expenditures for the state apparatus amounted to 5 trillion yuan, and economic construction expenditures were the lowest at 7.72 trillion yuan. Such investment is certainly insufficient. Therefore, the economy expenditures on economic construction must rely on sales revenue and bond issuance revenue, that is, supplemented by expenditures from government funds. Now I have directly incorporated the data on government fund expenditures into the economic construction expenditure category. This allows us to clearly see the proportion of each of the three major categories of expenditures in the total expenditure: livelihood expenditures, expenditures on maintaining the state apparatus, and economic construction expenditures. Through this table, you should now be able to clearly see the fiscal expenditure logic of Red China. The proportion of expenditures on maintaining the state apparatus has long been around 25%. The expenditure scale in 2024 is 9.85 trillion yuan. The proportion of livelihood expenditures has long been around 24%. The expenditure scale in 2024 is 9 trillion yuan. The proportion of economic construction expenditures is 46.3%, and the expenditure scale in 2024 is 17.87 trillion yuan. For any normal regime, economic construction is, of course, the highest priority project and should naturally account for the largest proportion of expenditures. Now let's focus on the composition of fiscal expenditures in 2024. The total expenditure of 38.61 trillion yuan is mainly divided into three parts. Expenditures on maintaining the state apparatus account for about a quarter, livelihood expenditures account for about a quarter, and economic construction expenditures account for the remaining half. Now my question is, when the Chinese economy falls into a collapse mode, and the economic scale shrinks by one-third overall, that is, the bleak situation of the 1930s in the United States is happening in China. At this time, the decline in government fiscal revenue will certainly exceed the decline in the economic scale. Let's assume it is halved. If fiscal revenue is halved overall, fiscal expenditures must also be halved accordingly. That is to say, now, the fiscal expenditure scale has decreased from 38.6 trillion to 19.3 trillion. Under such extreme circumstances, can the Chinese state apparatus still be maintained? That is, can the five major branches of government, the public security, procuratorate, and court systems, and the military system still have enough funds to maintain normal operation? This is the question this program focuses on. Now let's consider the government's governance logic after an economic collapse. Will it prioritize saving the economy? That is, will it continue to increase investment in the economic sector, maintaining investment in economic infrastructure? In other words, when the fiscal expenditure scale is only 19.3 trillion, will it still maintain 17 trillion in economic construction investment? If the government chooses this governance logic, then the maintenance costs for the state apparatus and people's livelihoods combined will only be 2 trillion, and the entire country will indeed be unsustainable. 80 million civil servants will lead 1.3 billion people in a collective uprising. However, the Red regime has rich governance experience and is extremely adept at controlling the people. The Red regime certainly won't make such a mistake. My reasonable inference is that under the Great Will model, The Red regime will definitely prioritize abandoning economic construction and compress economic construction expenditures to the minimum. For example, the construction of highways and high-speed railways in the central and western regions can be completely stopped. Existing highways can also be completely shut down to reduce maintenance costs. Anyway, after the economic collapse, the demand for goods will drop sharply, and ordinary national roads can fully meet the demand. As for completely suspending high-speed rail operations, that's a bit unreasonable. So, they will adjust the policy. Only personnel within the system with a letter of introduction from their organization can purchase tickets and ride. This way, train departures can be reduced by 90%, and operating costs can also be significantly reduced. Low. At the same time, the Jade Skin train can make a full comeback, and everyone can just leisurely rumble along. The annual expenditure on transportation is over 1 trillion, and cutting 80% of it is absolutely no problem. Furthermore, there's the fiscal investment in scientific research and development, which also amounts to trillions annually, and that can also be completely stopped. China's advantage over North Korea lies in the fact that China has already achieved informatization, while North Korea hasn't even achieved industrialization. Therefore, the North Korean model must rely on the import of foreign industrial products to maintain its ruling order, but China doesn't need that. China's grand strategy only needs to maintain the existing level of information technology, which is more than enough to control 1.3 billion farmers, and even has a huge technological surplus. For example, the expenditure in energy conservation and environmental protection, which amounts to around 600 billion annually, can also be completely stopped. In short, for economic construction, the largest expenditure category, retaining a little investment in energy and maintaining the minimum maintenance costs of existing infrastructure is enough. My estimate is that investment in economic construction can be reduced by at least 80%, that is, from the current 17.9 trillion to 3.6 trillion, without any problem, and the entire country can still function normally. Meanwhile, spending on people's livelihoods can also be drastically reduced. First, the 2 trillion in fiscal expenditure on healthcare can be reduced by 80%. When ordinary people get sick, prescribing some traditional Chinese medicine as a placebo is enough. Western medicine will only be supplied to the 80 million privileged people within the system. The 3 trillion in social security and housing subsidies can be completely abolished. There's no need to provide such guarantees anymore. Families of workers who lose their ability to survive can simply starve to death. Of course, the 4 trillion annual expenditure on education cannot be drastically reduced. A reduction of 2 or 3 layers is sufficient. After all, the entire country still needs to maintain the brainwashing education that has been in place since childhood. Taking all this into account, the total expenditure on reputation-related items can be reduced by about 60%. That is, from the current 9.4 trillion to 3.7 trillion. Now let's look at the implementation of the Great Will model. Assuming the total fiscal expenditure is reduced by half from the current scale to 19.3 trillion, the Red regime's countermeasures are to reduce economic construction expenditures by 80%, leaving 3.6 trillion, and reduce livelihood expenditures by 60%, leaving 3.7 trillion. All other expenditures are stopped, and government debt no longer needs to be repaid. It is all directly forgiven. In this way, the government will still have 12 trillion left to maintain the operation of the state apparatus. That is to say, under the Great Will model, the annual operating expenditure of the state apparatus can increase from the current 9.85 trillion to 12 trillion, an increase of 21.8%. In other words, the Great Will model will not only not reduce the welfare benefits of the 80 million privileged elites within the system, but will also improve their overall treatment, with an increase of more than 20%. Ladies and gentlemen, my calculation process above only used the simplest addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, which is very simple and easy to understand. If I can calculate this set of data, the top 2 million red elites can certainly calculate it as well. I have repeatedly said that the Great Will model is precisely the model that best serves the interests of the 80 million privileged elites within the system, and they will certainly use their power to promote the implementation of this model. Under this model, they do not need to bear the impact of the economic crisis, they have no worries about the consequences, their living materials can be satisfied, their welfare level can be increased by 20%, and in addition, they can freely manipulate the 1.3 billion ordinary citizens at the bottom. Such a beautiful scenario is something they can only dream about at night.